Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is April 7th, 2013, and the title of the podcast is She's Got Legs. This podcast is being done from beautiful Victoria, British Columbia. I'm attending the Society of Rural Physicians of Canada's annual meeting. It's so great to see so many people excited about rural medicine. Now, while here, I'm giving two workshops at the SRPC. One is on social media, and the other one is on that favorite topic of mine, evidence-based medicine. Of course, I'll be using the opportunity to promote the SGEM and FOMED. The ongoing mission, of course, of the SGEM is to cut that knowledge translation window from 10 years down to 1 year. So let's get started with today's case. We have a 58-year-old woman who arrives in the emergency department with a painful leg. You do an appropriate history and physical examination, and she is Wells criteria low. And what I mean by Wells criteria low is she has no active cancer. She hasn't been bedridden recently for more than 3 days or had major surgery within the last 4 weeks. The calf swelling on one side isn't greater than 3 centimeters compared to the other leg. The collateral superficial veins are present. The entire leg is not swollen. She does not have localized tenderness along the deep vein system. Pitting edema greater in the symptomatic leg. Nope, not that. Paralysis or recent plaster immobilization of the lower extremities? Nope. And no previous documented DVT. So what I just went through is the Wells criteria for DVT. And if you like to get a great link for that, just go to mdcalc.com. And they've got a great little calculator there that you can add up her Wells criteria. And like I said, she is Wells criteria low. So, in Bayesian thinking, you apply the PERC rule. And of course, I don't like rules. I like clinical decision instruments. So you apply the PERC, and she's PERC positive. And there's 8 things in the PERC rule. All 8 have to be answered yes. And the very first one is age under 50. No, bing, 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 bing. She is 58 years old. But everything else you can answer yes to. Is her heart rate less than 100? Yes. Are her O2 sats on room air greater than 94%? Yes. No prior history of DVT or PE? Yes. No recent trauma or surgery? Yes. No hemoptysis? Yes. No exogenous estrogen? Yes. No clinical signs suggestive of deep vein thrombosis? Yes. So she was PERC positive because of her age. But she was low. She was Wells criteria low. So you apply the D-dimer now, and you order that D-dimer, and it comes back as elevated. Ugh. So now you got to go forward and get an ultrasound. The ultrasound image report, though, does come back saying, "Woohoo! No evidence of deep vein thrombosis." So you make the diagnosis of superficial thrombophlebitis. So you make that diagnosis, and the question that is pondering us today for the podcast is, what should you do to treat this woman's superficial thrombophlebitis? Should you use non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or NSAIDs? How about some Coumadin? Yeah, warfarin, some rat poison. Low molecular weight heparin? Surgery? Nothing? So what are we going to do? And that's what we hope to answer today. So just to give a little background information on superficial thrombophlebitis, yeah, it's common, and it commonly involves the lower leg, the superficial veins of the lower leg. And the two components of this condition are clot, i.e. thrombus, and the inflammation of the vein, the phlebitis. Besides local pain, superficial thrombophlebitis can cause red, itchy skin with hardening of the surrounding tissue. There has been a concern that this superficial thrombophlebitis could lead to the more scary deep vein thrombosis. So the reference for today's podcast is a Cochrane review. What a surprise. Yes, it's a Cochrane review by, and I'm going to say this name improperly, Dinicio. That's a capital D, small I, then capital N-I-S-I-O et al. And it's called The Treatment for Superficial Thrombophlebitis of the Leg, and it was published in 2012. The PICO for this systematic review involved a population of randomized clinical control trials of patients who were clinically diagnosed with superficial thrombophlebitis of the leg and objective diagnosis of thrombus in the superficial vein. It had 26 trials, and that included 5,521 patients. So pretty big systematic review. Now, the interventions were varied. You could have topical treatments, compression stockings or bandages, just elevating the leg. There were specific medical treatments like low molecular weight heparin, NSAIDs, unfractionated heparin, fondaparinux, or surgery, which involved ligation of the veins or stripping of the veins. Now, when it came to the comparison, they were compared to another form of treatment, or placebo, or no intervention. And that the outcome that they were looking for was, first of all, symptom relief, right? Symptom relief, because these people come in with painful legs. So does any of these treatments, or do any of these treatments relieve symptoms? And then looking at prevention of extension or recurrence of superficial thrombophlebitis, progression to DVT or PE, and quality of life. They did have secondary outcomes, which included mortality or adverse events of the treatment. So the results from this large, remember 5,500 plus patients, this large systematic review done in Cochrane, was that fondaparinux given for 45 days compared to placebo reduced the composite endpoint. So they had a composite endpoint of death, symptomatic PE or DVT, extension or recurrence of superficial thrombophlebitis. So that's death, symptomatic PE or DVT, and then extension or recurrence of superficial thrombophlebitis. And it reduced that composite endpoint by 85%. Woo, that's a big drop. The relative risk reduction was 0.15 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.08 to 0.26. So that gave a number needed to treat of 20. So you had to treat 20 people to prevent one of those composite primary endpoints. And when they looked at each component of the composite endpoints, all of them were reduced. All of them were reduced except for death. So you could reduce symptomatic PE or DVT and extension or recurrence of superficial thrombophlebitis with giving fondaparinux. There was no increase in the risk of bleeding compared to placebo, so I think that's important. There was no risk. We always are looking at what's the benefit, but also what's the harm. There was no increased risk of bleeding compared to placebo. Just to remind everybody what fondaparinux is, it is a synthetic factor 10A inhibitor, and it has a potential advantage over things like low molecular weight heparin or unfractionated heparin, because it has a lower rate of heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. It needs to be used with caution when it comes to renal patients or renal patients with renal dysfunction, because fondaparinux is excreted in the urine. And there is a black box warning about fondaparinux, specifically with epidural spinal hematomas. And I've put the black box warning in there so you guys can look at it in greater detail. The bottom line from the authors with their conclusion was, quote, prophylactic dose of fondaparinux given for 6 weeks appears to be a valid therapeutic option for superficial thrombophlebitis of the legs. Now into the BEAM comments. Well, the best evidence of emergency medicine review, we said, well, you know, this is once again a typical Cochrane review, with pretty good methods addressing a common problem seen in the emergency department. The quality of most included trials, though, was poor, mainly due to inadequately reported randomization and allocation concealment. It was also dominated by one very big placebo-controlled trial. And this one very big, large, randomized placebo-controlled trial was called Callisto. And it had 3,000 of the patients. And remember, the total systematic review here is 5,500 patients. So 3,000 came from this one trial. And it dominated with more than half the patients. The systematic review did show, though, that fondaparinux worked in some smaller studies. Low molecular weight heparin, or NSAIDs, compared to placebo, appear to reduce the extension and recurrence of superficial thrombophlebitis, but had problems with methods and a risk of increasing gastric complications. These studies showed no significant difference in the progression to PE or DVT, and the evidence for the topical treatment or surgery was too limited to draw any conclusions. So the BEAM bottom line, fondaparinux, sub-Q, every day for 6 weeks, should be considered for treating superficial thrombophlebitis of the leg. The case resolution is that you treat this woman with fondaparinux to relieve both her symptoms and hopefully prevent an extension to a DVT or PE. The Keener contest, last week, no winner. It is always a challenge trying to pick a question in that Goldilocks zone. Not too easy, not too hard, just right. And I must have missed the mark last week. This week's Keener contest, I hope to hit the nail dead on, okay? So what I'm looking for this week's Keener contest is, we've discussed fondaparinux, given sub-Q every day for 6 weeks. What I want you to give me is the dose. So if you can give me the dose of fondaparinux that was used in this original study, the Callisto study, and be the first person to email me back, thesgem@gmail.com, and use Keener contest in the subject line, I will send you a cool skeptical prize. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine, and I look forward to talking to you next week.